John chapter 11. The book of John chapter 11. We're going to consider verse 1 to verse 11. John chapter 11 in verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And goest thou thither again? Are you going to the place where they want to kill you? Jesus answered and said, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light, because he seeth the light of this world. Verse 10. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Verse 11. This thing said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him, awake him out of sleep. Luke chapter 6 verse 37. Luke chapter 6 in verse 37. Luke chapter 6 in verse 37. It says, please, I will use the Message translation since you are used to the King James. I think you're going to be having the King James translation on the stage. Can we have the King James translation? Can we have the King James translation, please? I will read the Message translation. It said, don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang. Be easy on people. You will find life a lot easier. Give away your life. You will find life given back. But not merely given back. Given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. I pray for the blessing on his word this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I'll be speaking to you on this on the subject morning this morning, what I title Relationship Accounts. Relationship Accounts. Power and honor flows through relationship. Power and honor flows through relationship. The relationships you pursue decides the rewards that you will receive. Power and honor flows through relationships. Power, honor, and promotion, it flows through relationship. If of late you have not been promoted, it might just be simply because you have not maintained a good relationship with people or with your organization. The relationship you pursue decides the reward that you will receive. I will say that again. The relationship that you pursue will decide the reward that you will receive. If you pursue a relationship with Jesus, you will receive the anointing of Jesus. If you pursue a relationship with Elijah, you will receive a double portion of his spirit. If you pursue a relationship with Moses, you will receive of the wisdom of Moses. The relationship you pursue will determine the reward that you will receive. Relationship can be started in a day, but it takes time to grow. There is no such thing as instantaneous growth in relationship. A relationship can begin by an event, but it takes a process to grow relationships. You not grow relationships if you are an impatient person. It is the more reason why I charge singles who are impatient not to be thinking about marriage yet. Deal with the issue of impatience. Marriage is not a place where your partner will get it in a day.
let me fast forward. Your partner may not get it in a year. Maybe I should move it forward. Your partner may not get it in 10 years. My wife has been laboring so very hard to correct me on a subject matter. She started when we got married. She has been making a lot of progress. January this year, we had to look back after about 10 years of being married. And I said to her, how far am I due? She said, well, you are making progress. I said, I'm not there. I said, don't worry. That's why the Bible says you have long suffering. You suffer long. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Long suffering. Pastor Sam, I don't know what's wrong with this woman. Pastor, I told her yesterday. I told her David. So what's the problem? Pastor, can she change? It doesn't happen like that, sir. But Pastor, nobody told me. That's a problem. Nobody told you. But I'm telling you now. Give up trying to change your wife within 5 years. It's an effort in futility. Enjoy yourself. And in the process of enjoying yourself, change takes place. The stupidity of divorce and the futility of breakups is that it only comes to reveal the impatience in people. And you know the amazing thing about divorce and breakups is that what you run away from your partner because of, you will find every day in society. So will you run from society now? You know, I see a lot of hypocrisy in our world today. I see a man say, Pastor Sam, I can't take that nonsense. I can't take that bullshit from that man. Please permit me. I can't take all that kind of stuff. And I said, okay, so what are you going to do? Pastor Sam, I'm taking off. Pastor Sam, please, it's choking me up. It's choking me. It's, what's the other word now? Suffocating me. What else, man? He's killing me. She's killing me. Huh? She's running me nuts, driving me crazy. So, because you have the money, Pastor, I'm going to run up. And then look at this man, sir. The same person who cannot withstand his wife at home is in an office where his boss is meeting out 10 times of the same insult to him. And he's saying, yes, sir. I said something is wrong with you, Mr. James. You are crazy. Yes, sir. Did I not say you are crazy? Sir, you said so. Do you affirm it? Absolutely, sir. Sir, if I thank you, sir, for insulting me. When girls become wives and boys become husbands, the madness is what you see in society today. Because marriage is not for girls. He said, this is now the bone. And then he said, she shall be called woman. Not girl. The inability to transit from girlhood to womanhood is the reason why you are not keeping good relationships. Marriage is not meant for boys, please. It's meant for men. Adam. Marriage is meant for Adam. Men. And somebody said, Pastor, that's why I have a problem with 25 years old boys who are getting married. No. Boyhood and manhood has nothing to do with age. You have people who are 25 years old who are men. And boys who are 65 years old. Maturity is not a function of age. Maturity is a function of wisdom. And please, wisdom is not something that is something abstract. Wisdom is the capacity to understand knowledge and apply it in a way that brings about progress. So the application of knowledge is what they call wisdom. That you know is not enough. That you can apply is what makes you wise. Somebody wants to go and marry a woman and he does not have what I call general working knowledge about women. Can you? A man wants to go and marry a woman, no working knowledge about women. Do you know that every month women go through their menstrual period? Do you know that towards that period there's excess estrogen in their body? During that period, they want to touch and be touched. Do you know that? During that period, they develop mood swings. During that period, they become irrational, temperamental. You don't know. And during that period, she becomes temperamental and irrational. And look at a boy who doesn't understand it, getting angry at a woman when he just needs to quietly say, "Well, sweetheart, I understand now that you're in your season. I'll see you when your season is over." The relationship you don't nurture will not mature. The relationship you do not nurture will not mature. Quality relationships require hard work. Hallelujah. Quality relationship requires hard work. It cannot thrive by choice and by chance, but by choice. Quality relationship does not thrive by chance. It thrives by what, sir? Choice. You choose to have a quality relationship. It does not happen by chance. I've said this before in this hour. The relationship you don't work on will not work out. Any relationship that you see working, you will find two workers in the relationship. So when we were joining you as husband and wife, what we're saying is that we are employing you as workers into your own marriage. It takes two to work, to make a marriage work. Now, before you take me on, you say, "Well, Pastor Sam, praise God, Pastor Sam. You see, my husband, my wife, she's not working. I'm the only one working." Keep on doing it. You know why? There is something called the law of life. And the law of life, one of it is the law of sowing and reaping. If you keep working it, someday you will reap the harvest of her or him working it back. Give, and it shall be given back to you. It cannot be broken. If your spouse is not committed to making a marriage work, it's no reason why you should not be making it work. You keep on making it work. Over time, it will catch up with your spouse, because seed sown must bring forth an harvest. And by the time your spouse wakes up to begin to pour forth work into the marriage, that will be the time for you to start resting. It takes hard work for marriages to work. Ooh. Do you know that relationships are like bank accounts? You cannot withdraw from an account what you have not deposited into it. Am I correct, sir? Eh? In fact, do you know that you can't sign a check and send it to a bank where you don't have an account for withdrawals? Am I talking to somebody here? If you look at our text, you will discover something very important here. You will discover from our text that there's a limit to what you can receive continuously from anyone with whom you do not have a healthy relationship account. I'll say that again. From our text, you can see that there is a limit to what you can receive from any individual, this is great, from any individual with whom you do not have a healthy, continuous, functional relationship account. It was a case of, you know, Lazarus. The Bible says Lazarus died and his sisters came to Jesus. They sent a message to Jesus. And they said to Jesus, "Come and bring our brother back to good health." Now the Bible says that they had to describe who this particular lady was. They said it was Mary and Martha, particularly Mary, the one that poured oil on Husa. Wait a minute. It meant that before this request came, there was an existing what, sir? Say it again. Existing what? Relationship account. Do you understand that? So she was making a request. She was trying to make a withdrawal from WhatsApp, from the account that exists in the relationship. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Jesus was having a ministration in this particular city. He was carrying out his Father's will. And the Bible says that he got a request from Mary Martha to come over and heal their brother. Look at this carefully. Praise God. Look at this carefully. They qualified the case of Lazarus by saying that It was that Lazarus that he loved. Meaning again, that apart from Mary and Martha having a relationship and an account with Jesus, the person also in question also has an account, because the Bible says it was that same Lazarus that he loved. Are you getting what I'm saying here? It was as a result of this account that existed between Jesus, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, that Jesus said to his disciples after 2 days, he said, let us go. Please, a lot of us do not know the import of that scripture. He said, let us go over and heal Lazarus. In fact, he said, let us go and wake him up, for Lazarus at this time was already dead. When he said they should go, the disciples said to him, they said, Master, they said, don't forget that the Jews are planning to kill you. Jesus said, listen, even though I know my life is at stake, because I have a relationship. Are you getting what I'm saying here? I will risk my life in order to rescue someone that I have a relationship with. Oh, are you getting something here now? It reminds me of the case of Abraham. The Bible says concerning Abraham that Abraham was told that Lot had been captured by the 5 kings who invaded Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible says because Lot was among those who were captured, the Bible says that Abraham brought his armies that have been trained in his house. Please, I like something in that scripture there. The Bible says he gathered his armies that have been trained. On this occasion, the Bible says he equipped them. He armed them. Meaning that although they've been trained, they were yet to be armed. Because there was no need to be armed. So there's a time when you are trained and there's a time when you are armed. So the Bible says that he armed the men whom he had trained so that they can go and rescue Lot. And the Bible says they went on a rescue mission. Not only was Lot delivered, but the city of Gomorrah was also delivered. Sodom and Gomorrah was delivered. And the king wanted to give gifts unto Abraham. Abraham said, that's not what I'm looking for. You see, the king enjoyed deliverance because of the presence of Lot. Lot enjoyed deliverance from Abraham because of the relationship. Please help me touch your neighbor. Say, relationship can deliver. Say it again to somebody. Say, relationship can deliver. Yes, so it is important for you to understand that if you are going to make any meaningful progress in any kind of relationship, you need to establish an account. You can get gifts from individuals from time to time without a relationship account with them. But if you want to continually benefit from a relationship, there must be an account. Mary and Martha leveraged on their relationship with Jesus Christ and the account that they did have with him. They used that to invite him, and eventually Jesus Christ came and brought Lazarus back to life. So it was on the grounds of the account that they had with Jesus that they were able to invite him to come and rescue their brother. Healthy relationships operate like bank accounts. Healthy relationships operate like bank accounts. In those early days, there's a man called Steve Covey. He wrote a book, Seven Habits of Seven Most Successful People, or something like that. And he was the one that came up first with a concept of what they call EBA, emotional bank account. Do you understand that? I'm going a little bit further than emotional bank account, because emotional bank account is part of relationship accounts. Do you understand? Emotions are involved in relationships, but relationships is not strictly restricted to emotions. Are you getting what I'm saying right now? So we're going to do a little bit of a build up from that. God will help us here today in Jesus' name. All right. Having said that, if you are going to have a healthy relationship with any bank, the first thing you must do with the bank is to establish a bank account. Open a bank account. If you want to have a relationship with the bank, the first thing you do is to open a bank account from which you will make withdrawals, and then you make also deposits. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Number two, your withdrawal must at any time not exceed your deposits. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Your withdrawal at no time should exceed your deposit, otherwise you will get an invitation from the bank. You will get into a discussion. Is that all right? So at no time should your withdrawal exceed your deposits. You must continually service that account. Otherwise, it will go into an inactive state and eventually it will go into a dormant state. I had a challenge recently and I was almost frustrated. Pastor John knows what I'm talking about. I have quite a few accounts tied to different things that I do. So I got so busy with some things. You know, it's a rule in life. It's part of life. We have something called Pareto's principle, the 80-20 principle. That makes you to know that 80% of most of the results you get in your life are usually out of 20% of most of your activities. Is that okay? The major profits you get out of life are usually tied to 20% of the products that you are selling. That's why some of you need to look at your shop. All the products you have, you get to discover that all of the products you have in your shop are not the ones bringing you the profit you are having. If you really look at your inventory, you will discover that 20% of your products in your shop are the ones actually bringing the money. So what are the other ones doing there? Fling them out. Those of us who are men will agree with me. Those of you that have a lot of ties, you will discover that although you have several ties, you discover that you're only using 20% of them. Have you noticed that? You have several shirts, you discover that you're only using 20% of your shirts. The same thing with your shoes. You have several shoes, you just get discovered that there are these sets you've not even used for a while. It's the way life works. And the same thing too, I had these accounts and then I discovered that only 20% of the accounts was I using. And then one went into an inactive state, virtually went into dormant state. And then suddenly I remembered, now there was a need for that particular account. What my eyes saw to reactivate that account. At a point I said, can we cancel that account? Let me start another one. Write a letter, sign something, one funny something. I said over the account that I have, they said, sir, because you allowed it to go dormant, you have to pay a price to open it again. I'm going somewhere. Eh? You allowed it to go dormant, so you will have to start almost as though you are starting the process all over again. In fact, for me, it was easier. Opening a new account wouldn't take me more than a day. But sir, to reactivate that account, I think it took us over 2-3 weeks. Come today, bring that one, I got frustrated. And some of us today need to pray that God will give us the grace to be able to reactivate some dormant accounts. Eh? Living in the same house with your wife, account gone dormant. Dormant. No more deposit. When we say an account is dormant, it means for a long time, there's deposits, there's no more deposit in there, no more withdrawal. That account is just, I'm coming. I've not gotten there. I want to lay my foundation. Follow me. If you are listening via tape or CD, don't pause now. We have so much yet in store for you. Praise God. So you need to understand the relationship account itself. If you desire to see every contact that God brings you into with any individual to blossom and develop into a healthy, fulfilling and profitable relationship or partnership, you must understand the fundamentals of relationship accounts. You must understand that number one, relationships are made up of individuals with emotional, physical, spiritual and sexual needs, which I call accounts. Can you come a little bit closer to me now, sir? Can you come a little bit closer? Whatever relationship God brings you into, for instance, if you are a woman and God brings you into a relationship with this man, two of you come together. When two of you come together, I want two of you to realize that it is not just a coming together of two individuals physically. That is what it seems. But beyond that, everyone is coming to this relationship. The first thing we talked about last week is that everybody drags what into a relationship? Can I hear everybody say it? Baggages. Is that okay? Now, beyond baggages, there are some other things that will bring into relationship. Accounts. Is that okay? Emotional accounts. We also have spiritual accounts. Individual comes into relationship with different accounts that matters to them. The account that matters to you may not be the account that matters to me. Your account, the one that matters to you, may be your spiritual account, for which if you don't have a continuous deposit, that relationship will become strained. Are you getting what I'm saying here? So, oh God, help me. God will help somebody here today. Join your hands together, sir. Join your hands together. Watch this carefully. What I'm saying is that The two of you have come into a relationship, and those of you that are having conflicts in your relationship, or those of you that have had conflicts in your relationship, those of you that have had maybe divorce, or you've had whatever situation, you will understand the past by the things I'm sharing with you now. Do you understand that? Everybody comes into relationship with a kind of account. This may be an emotional account, because for this woman, she's always had spirit satisfaction. She's always had physical satisfaction. She's always had material satisfaction. She's got the car. She's got the house. She wants to go on holiday abroad. She can sponsor herself and go. So material, financial accounts are not issues of concern to her. Are you getting what I'm saying here? But for this woman, she needs a man who will consistently and continuously speak to reaffirm her, speak to encourage her. Her emotional bank account is in a very, very low and empty state. So she comes into relationship with Emeka, expecting that Emeka will continuously make deposits into her emotional account. How is he going to make deposit into it? By the words he speaks, by the way he treats her, by the way he handles her, by the way he esteems her, by what he does with her, not what he does for her. Because for her, she can do anything for herself. But the man does not get it and is buying car, buying gifts, buying perfume, buying clothes, buying jewelries. She values that and appreciates them. But that is not the primary account that she wants this brother to minister to. Are you getting what I'm saying here, sir? She will appreciate all of that if you can communicate to the account that is empty. Oh, God help me now. Am I getting across to anybody in the house of God? Now watch this carefully. It is as a result of this empty account. Chinedu, can I have you on stage, please? Thank you very much. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can I, Daphne, can you come over to the other side? I want to show you where the problem comes from. It is as a result. Daphne, you're going to go over there. Chinedu, come to my side here. Because you see, this lady is married to this guy. She is engaged to this guy, carrying along with her an emotional account that is empty. And she comes to him every day when they meet, when they are in the house, when they are on the bed, when they are in the sitting room. This lady is expecting Emeka to minister and make deposits into her emotional account. Unfortunately, our elder brother does not get it. He's busy watching home video, busy watching war film, busy talking about his car, busy talking about the next house he's going to build, busy talking about how he will conquer the world, busy talking about the next million he's about to make. And he's looking at us. Are you not excited? I'm going to be a billionaire. You will be a billionaire. Are you not happy? And she's like, thank God. Are you not happy for me? Sweetheart, you will have an Hummer Jeep. You will have a Lamborghini. And she's like, we bless God. And this woman is saying, speak to satisfy, speak to feel my emotional bank. I'm empty, I'm drained. You've never looked at me and say I'm beautiful. I'm confused. Every time I look at the magazines, I look at Cosmopolitan, and I see all those girls with a figure. What figure now are they? Size what, sir? Size what? Figure 8. Well, when I see these girls in Cosmopolitans, and I see them, and they market them as the ideal figure of a woman, something tells me that maybe I am not beautiful enough. As I look at the magazines, I watch televisions, I come into a state of confusion about who I am. In fact, the way you are treating me seems to be validating what my father used to say about me, that I resemble a man. My father used to look at me. My friends would look at me and say, look at you, lepacious. Look at you, oroboish. Look at you, this. Look at you, that. Your nose, too big. Your eyeballs, too bulging. You're too yellow. You look like a mommy water spirit. You're too black. You look like a devil. I mean, I've had too many things in my life. You see, the fact that I'm an achiever does not mean that I'm a healthy person emotionally. In actual fact, the reason why I've achieved so much is because I want to use my achievements to prove those who are speaking against me, to prove them wrong. To let them know that if you're trying to look at my face, I don't want you to see my face that they say is ugly. Look at my certificate. So I don't like people to get close to me because I am afraid of people looking a little bit deeply and see my imperfection. So I will use my degrees. I will use my position. I will use the new car I just bought, the new suit I just got, the new house I just built, the chain on my neck, the Mary Kay Ash Foundation, the clothes that I wear. If they say my face does not look nice, then I had to wear a miniskirt so that I can distract your attention from looking at my face so that you can look at my legs. Because something tells me that my face does not look nice. So you see me dressed with micro mini and you call me an unbeliever, but you don't know the battle that is raging on the inside of me. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? Every time I open my breast, I'm only trying to distract people from my face. I'm only trying to distract people from something else. I'm only trying to let them see something so that they will not see something. There is something fighting on the inside of me that makes a doctorate degree holder like I am, a woman who has traveled around the world, there is something on the inside of me that still keeps making me feel I am a nobody. So if I come into relationship with you, Emeka, I didn't come so you can buy me a car. I can buy the best of cars for myself. I didn't come so you can send me abroad. I can fly anywhere around the world. I didn't come so that you can change my Gucci shoes and bring me a Valentino, Louis Vuitton, and the rest of that. That's not why I came into relationship with you. I came into relationship with you with an empty emotional account. An account that is empty of self-security. An account that is empty of self-assurance. An account that is empty of self-confidence. If I'm in relationship with you, speak into my account. Let me know I am what they say I am not. Let me know that where they say I am a fool, tell me I am wise. Tell me I'm beautiful if they say I'm ugly. Tell me I'm a wonder if they say I'm a mess. Fill my account. But unfortunately, our brother is not getting it. He's not getting it. Am I helping anybody here? Oh, he's not getting it. And he's busy doing everything to get out this. Isn't she looking good? He brought her a Brazilian weave on. She puts the weave on and looks at the mirror. You wonder why she has a mirror in the bedroom. One again in her purse, the other inside her bag, a mirror in the car, a mirror in the bathroom, a mirror by the bedside. She's unsure of who she is. She looks everywhere trying to find out who she is. She looks to the mirror hoping that the mirror would tell her who she is. She multiplies her mirrors in the house in the absence of the words from her man. Everybody go quiet. Am I talking to somebody here? So you find so many of these things around her. But she actually wants him to speak into her account. And unfortunately he is not. Leave him a bit. She goes to work. Can I get a chair? Chinedu is our boss in the office. A colleague, I didn't want to use. You know, the greatest case of infidelity now, the greatest case of adultery and fornication now, globally, it has been known to be existing no more in hotels, but in offices, between 9 and 5. It's happening between married women, married men, or married. The mixture is so confusing that sometimes some women don't even know who they slept with last week. Some men have lost count of the ladies they've slept with in their offices. I will not mention the office, but there's one of our sister here, one of our brother who was here before he was posted to Lagos. They were all working in that organization in Asokoro. I know that office. I've been there. Most of the people in that place claim to be Christians. Unfortunately, they have what they call the CCTV. You understand that? But nobody bothers about the CCTV because they never use it. One day, this our brother, I won't mention his name. One day, this our brother then called his boss. He said, "Oh God, this CCTV, do we have it here for just decoration?" He said, "Why do we need it? Have we had any case of theft here?" He said, "Oh God, let's just check. Let's know if anything is happening around the office and all of that." When they opened it, they started going back. They started going back. They saw, they went back. They saw, they went back. They saw, they went back. Guess what they were seeing? Sister who happens to be one of the loudest praise worship leader in the office. Jesus is Holy Spirit, come. Holy Ghost, you are mine. This sister has not only slept with married men, she has slept with virtually almost every man in that office. On office desk, on the floor, name it, married women involved in the madness I'm talking about. Now, before you criticize people for what they do, you need to figure out what's going on. This is what normally happens. Stay there a bit. Put your hands here. Put your hands here. Thank you. She is married to her husband. He gives her everything except the thing that matters. She is empty of it. So every day when you see her going to the office, my sister, walk, Mommy Cassie, walk. God, when you see her coming to the office, she looks cute, she looks collected, she looks together. But you see, beneath all the togetherness is an empty account. Hold them a bit. Hold them a bit. Just a little bit. She comes to office and she meets this young man. Market apart. Excellence. Guy who knows how to make money for the bank. And he looks at her and speaks to her. "You're beautiful. This hair looks nice on you." How do you women normally do when somebody flatters you? "This hair looks beautiful on you." "Ah, thank you. Thank you." And then he throws another one. "Sorry, sir. What are you doing? Be making deposits, sir." Every word he speaks, "The cloth looks nice on you." "What is he making, sir?" "The hair fits you." "What is he doing?" "Deposits." I'm talking about what they are doing to your wife. Your wife. What you will not do at home, they are doing it to your wife outside. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Pastor, sir, if she dare it. If you don't want her to dare it, you better start doing what I'm talking about here. The say, "Ah, you know that the Lord is already rebuking somebody here. You carry somebody's daughter. Is it not the height of wickedness? You carry somebody's daughter. You went to their family. By whatever reason, this lady has left her future to connect with you. This lady is laboring under your custody." Let me say this. I told my father something. The day my father and my mother had a quarrel, and my father lifted his hand and slapped my mom, I said to him, I said, "The Bible says, whosoever uses evil to pay good, evil shall never depart from his house all the days of his life." Men who have women who are laboring with you, and you are ignoring those women, punishing them, starving them, you don't even care if they exist. Don't forget scripture. Whosoever uses evil to pay good, that's why evil has not left you. Somebody's daughter is in the house. She has decided to follow you. She canceled other boyfriends to follow you. And now, because you are the prince charmer, you have charmed her. And her life without you is not complete. So now you can put her in a miserable condition and go your way. Beware. There is somebody called the judge of the earth. He will do right. And some men don't know why they are going through ups and down crisis in their homes. They don't know it's because of a woman in their home that they are punishing. Some men do it ignorantly. Some men do it deliberately. Chinedu begins to speak to her. You're beautiful. What is he making into our account, sir? You see it now. Eh? Deposits. And you know, psychology has also proven that if you keep speaking right words, if you stay around somebody and speak consistently the right words over a long period of time, psychology has proven that you will wear down their sexual resistance. That is why you wonder, don't be in a hurry to condemn men of God who go into immorality. You need to check out what account was empty that they went trying to fill. It is not in all cases that men go look for sex. It is that empty, I'm coming to the man. It is that empty account that we go somewhere to try to fill. But you see, in the process of, you know, and she now finds herself be feeling it for him. You see, the more he's speaking, he's making deposits into our accounts. Now, you'll be trying to hold her, and you'll be pulling away. You see, she's spending more time with this man, not because he is more handsome than her husband, not because he has more money than her husband, but because he has more words than her husband. Nonsense! You left me for that rat, because the rat has words you don't have. Nonsense! You let me, you are sleeping with my house girl. Ah, you disgrace me. My house girl. That dirty girl. The dirty girl has something you don't give to your husband.
Oh. Shubidubidu. Ooh, yeah. Shubidubidu. Yeah. Time is running out. Time's running out. I hear one man say, Pastor, continue. Don't stop like that. Don't change. And gradually, you don't know you are losing your wife. He has gone beyond talking to her in the office now. He started sending her texts. You were wonderful at work today. You did so very well. I know you work so very hard. The results have not yet shown up. He celebrates our efforts without results. Yon, what did you say you've been doing since morning? So you've been jumping up and down since. What is the result now? I told you all this nonsense you are doing. It's not paying you. Just jumping up and down, carrying this and jumping here and there. What have you gotten? No, sir. This one here, sir, will look at her and say, Madam, you deserve a good weekend. You've worked so hard. Don't worry, things are going to turn out right. It always goes like that. She leaves with her account half full and comes back here. Watch what she's going to start doing. Ignoring him. So you have a wife in the house who is beginning to ignore you gradually, because what she needs in a marriage is not available in the house. And if she gets it outside, there's no need to come and bother herself in the house. She will cook your food, which deceives you to make you think you still have a wife. She will give you sex. That's why you are angry. Sweetheart, participate now. She said, what do you want? Like, take, do what you want. Do. Sweetheart, shake. Are you not feeling anything? Nothing. Not just do whatever you want to get up and get out. Huh? So she gives you a body out of duty. The rose petal in her never blossoms. The fragrance of a woman in her never comes through your house. She holds it back. She's in your house, but her alabaster box is not broken. She has launched out with you, but she will never let down. You thought you've been having sex,
Wait until the day you really make that woman happy. You will know that there's a difference between that woman and the woman. So here we have her. She's beginning to ignore you. And I'm telling the story in the family right now. Your wife is beginning to ignore you. Read the signs. Smell the coffee. You are losing your home. God for you, Pastor. That's why I bring her to church every day, Pastor. I know she can never commit adultery because of the message you are preaching. You will know that my message cannot keep her if your words are not keeping her. She ignores you, wakes up in the morning. Have you had all you want to have? Bye-bye. And watch this. The moment she's at home, she's just this unhappy, moody, what now? Nagging. But the moment she's entering the office, she brightens up. She brightens up. The office is her world because that's where she gets her words. Listen. Initially, it was just like to say, "Hi, Chinedu, how are you doing?" And he also said, "How's your husband?" This time around, baby girl, I'm going to permit you right now, Chinedu, get ready. The blood of Jesus on all of you. So, quickly now, see each other, hug each other, quickly now. My God. You see, it's now watch this. Fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. She didn't go for a hugging. It was not hugging she went for. What did she go with? An emotional account so that he can be speaking into the account. But the account is now beginning to wear down sexual resistance and is beginning to foster now, watch this, physical connection. Women are created by nature to be rewarding. Forget for any woman, it doesn't matter whether she holy, forget all of that. Every woman is designed by God to be rewarding. If she is not, we need to bring her to the altar and minister effectively for the furtherance of her womanhood. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? So this is how it works. When a woman gets care, affection, and intimacy from anyone outside of her home, something makes a woman feel guilty, hence indebted to the one who has now become her benefactor. Something tells her, "Oh God, this guy is so nice to me. What can I do?" And unfortunately, most women, when they start thinking about what to do to reward a man, unfortunately, 80% of what comes to the mind of him is to reward him with sex. But then religion stands in our front. Hey, the vow she made at the altar. Hey, God forbid you. I can, Father God, help me. The more he keeps speaking, the more that fear begins to go down until the day when she will crack. Are you hearing what I'm saying? She didn't go looking for sex. She didn't go looking for adultery. She went looking for words. Words. This woman wants you to spend time, quality time. She grew up not having a father around her, a father who cuddled her, a father who spent time, held her, touched her, felt her. And she didn't have a father like that. So she came into your home so that you can spend time and make her, so that you can spend time, touch her, hold her, feel her, let her lie down on your laps, and let her for the first time have you as a father she never had. Instead of that, your remote is on your lap, laptop on the other hand, iPad on the other one. Baby, which one again? Galaxy. Wait, eh? BB. Ping. And all this woman is here in the house. Pim. 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 And you know what she was? She is boiling. She is angry in the house. Because while you are like, she's watching your face, you are like, look at you. This, you are crazy. This is where you are crazy. You are crazy. You are not serious. Yeah. I was wrong with you. Stop that. Stop that. And you are pim, 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 pim. And just pim, 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 pim. And she's here. She's here saying, spend time with me. Sweetheart,
so that sweetheart, she calls me, she's like, sweetheart, I called you in the office to know how you are doing. When a woman calls you and say, how are you? She's not asking, she knows how you are doing. She's, if I say, how are you, before you come from work, you should know that God is speaking. You should have gift of interpretation of tongues. Didn't they teach you in your house before you left? You now came home. First remote. Manchester. These boys. As a Wenger. Kick, kick. What's wrong with this boy? Chelsea. The only time your wife sees you smile excited in the house is Chelsea. Something tells her that she is not the object of your obsession. And every time something else excites you above your wife, you have ministered rejection to her. Let me tell you, if ministry excites you more than your wife, it has ministered rejection to your wife. That any time you are with your wife, the moment they say ministry, sweetheart, even if you are just about to sleep with her, and she has been waiting for weeks for this event, you say, sorry, sweetheart, they say somebody is having demonic influence now. Can't you learn from Jesus? Must you go there? Carry the phone. Say, hello, how are you? Say, sweetheart, don't go. Stay. I will sort it out before. We are not going. This work must get to the permanent side. Hello, how are you? What is the problem? It's a demonic influence. The Bible says that, and he sent forth his word. So I'm sending forth his word to you now. Wherever you are, the word heals you. In Jesus' name. And the Bible said the Lord will confirm his word with signs following. So trust in the word. God bless you. I will see how you are doing tomorrow morning. Bim! And put that funny phone on. You have to switch it off. Put it on silence. Throw it somewhere. Let the Lord have his way. Stop ministering rejection to your wife, making her to feel. Why did you marry her if something else was more important to her, to you, than to her, than her? It is not a matter in contest in this house. My ministers know, if I'm in this church, I'm Mary Oye calls. I say, sweetheart, how are you? If she dare makes any statement that is suggestive, that she needs my attention, every case comes to an end. I am on my way to my home. Because you know why? This is the permanent and the most guaranteed member by law that I have. The one that must dare not leave my church. This one must not. So she goes on. I will speak on. I will speak on. Let me just have all the protocol around me by the time I finish. Gradually, sir, she begins to carry an empty can of emotional needs to the man who can fill it up. The man who knows how to speak to the feminine gender that she is. The man who knows how to speak the dialect of a woman. A man who knows how to speak to reassure a woman. A man who knows how to speak to her fecundity, to her femininity. A man who knows how to speak to the lace on the inside of her. A man who knows how to speak to a girl who may be coming from a broken and battered background and make her see a princess on the inside of herself. A man who can speak to a woman that may have been rejected and counted as the Oscaring of this world and make her see that in my house, you are the queen in this whole territory. Not a man who reduces a queen to a slave. And that's what many of you men have done. Reduce women who come with pride and honor and dignity. They brought it from home. You shrunken them. You reduced them to nothing. By the way you treat them. By the way you talk to them. By the way you make them feel. And there's a God who watches in heaven. because you come from a rich home. I want to ask you a question. What is the reason for your arrogance? Your present financial status? Never forget that if there's one thing you must never use as a foundation for your pride in life, never use money. Never use money. Never use position. You can lose all of them anytime. Let me now ask you the question. If you don't have the kind of money you have now, and you don't have the kind of position you have now, will you be treating your wife the way you are treating her? If no is the answer, your arrogance is based on pride. And that pride is based on your position and your present acquisition. Let me say this to you. It doesn't last. Church has gone quiet. How are you? Let me shift a bit away. Since I'm going to continue next week, I think the best thing is I'll continue with the men next week. Because I'm almost up by 6 minutes and I want to release you to go. So the debate will continue between the men and the women. Who are the most wickedest? Is that in English like that? So the answer we'll find out next week. If you can watch Izakaba part 1, Izakaba part 2. This is relationship account part. But for every man in the house here who has failed to minister to the needs of your wife, the needs of the woman you are in relationship with. Brothers, I see a lot of you single brothers who want to marry. The problem is the same all over the world, Pastor. Same in London. Same in our church. Same across the body of Christ. Ladies are crying. These days we have more ladies who are more educated than their men, the men counterpart. They are ready to marry. But you know what, sir? Every time a brother comes to them, he is so spiritually spooky and so earthly useless, completely irrelevant to our present situation, insensitive to our empty account. A brother will come to a sister and be, praise God, can we meet today to read the Bible? Tomorrow, can we fast? Next tomorrow, can we go to the mountain and seek God? Have you ever looked at her and say, sister, you look beautiful? Some brothers in this church are planning to go and propose to some sisters. There's a brother here right now. What I speak by word of knowledge, I don't know now. Already dreaming. Maybe you want to come and propose to my daughter here. And you have never... Don't forget, before they came to Jesus, I said, come and raise our brother. The Bible says she had poured oil on him. Poured oil on him. Not only that, Bible historians, theologians make us understand that Jesus always eats in the house of Mary. That's where he eats, accounted for. It was so serious that our brothers of the other religion, actually, the relationship between Jesus and Mary and Martha, how strong it was. Our brothers of the other religion said that those were the wives of Jesus, the two wives, to validate their need to have more than one wife. That's how strong the relationship was. So strong that it was misunderstood. And he was not married to them. He will come there, they will eat. While one is cooking, the other will sit down, he'll be teaching her the Bible. We don't have that kind of thing anymore, sir. And you know, the rule is very simple from that principle. Mary and Martha in the room and one Jesus. The principle is simple. A brother must never be in a room with a sister alone. The whole place went quiet now. Pastor, I'm teaching her Bible. Where is Martha in the kitchen? They take care of him. picture they were feeling is material. You see, because they couldn't minister to Jesus' spiritual account. He was too much for them to minister to. He didn't have a need for them to minister to his spiritual account, because he knows how to minister to that account himself. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? In terms of material, how it's logistical accounts, they didn't need to bother about that, because he has men around him, 12, who were taking care of that. But these men can't cook. The only time there was a need to provide food and Jesus was not at the right place, the Bible says 12 men went to buy food for Jesus. 12. 12. It's unfortunate. 12 hefty. The only time we had the case where the women were not in focus, mighty, and they were the one telling Jesus, don't follow this road to the Samaritan, Samaria. They are planning to kill you. But when food matter came, 12 of them left their savior to go and buy food. Food. So it shows you that that's one account that Jesus, every man has an empty account that he needs a woman to fill. We shall talk about that next week. For today, let every man in this house, single, married, divorced, divorce, whatever your situation is, if you want to have a meaningful relationship with a woman, please learn to study what her accounts are and which one is most important to her. My wife's account, the one that ministered, that means a lot to her, I had to learn that through pain, 2 years into our marriage. And every time you minister to that account, the glory of the Lord falls. You don't need anybody to play keyboard. Why are you playing keyboard? You don't. All this is your playing keyboard for the glory to fall. No. That ministry to that account on its own is keyboard. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Merioye. Is keyboard on his own. You wonder how man of God have been staying fresh in the ministry and God has been helping. I'm seeing more visions. You wonder all these kind of messages are coming from. It can't be coming from a stressed up home. It's coming from a home where you know how to. And man of God, you know what? I don't need to minister to all her accounts. I have identified the one that matters the most. And anytime I look into the account, I notice the account is going down. I'll just top it up small. Recharge it small. Recharge again. She'll say, thank you, sweetheart. Recharge again. Thank you, sweetheart. Recharge. Baby, it's okay. I said, thank you so very much. I'll see you guys next week.